An hour of authentic news right here on RBN Live this night, AM April 2024, where I take your calls. And we have several already on the line. Paul in New Jersey, you're first up. Paul, join the conversation.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer. I'd like to talk about the problem with the right-left paradigm.
Sure.
And what it really comes down to is there is really no right left paradigm that we are offered in our election ballot. We're offered either a corporate approved right and a corporate approved left, and they're both in the center. The far left and the far right are always excluded from public discourse, and so, you know, the electorate, the people, they don't, you know, like ever countenance or consider those as viable, you know, like electable candidates. So, and that's why I put so much of the political situation in the United States, not on the politicians in the voting system, it's on the people themselves, because they lack imagination, and they still believe in the corporate right-left paradigm, which is where they say, oh, that candidate can't win. Oh, I'm throwing my vote away. Oh, you know, it's the lesser of two evils. And it goes on every 4 years. And now I will briefly want to tell you who I voted for, and I'll do it quickly. In 80, I voted for Reagan. And then after I found out he was a spendthrift, in 84, I voted for a third-party candidate, John Anderson. Then in 88, when it was the CIA, George Bush Sr. running, I thought he was so despicable, I voted for Dukakis. Then in 92, I voted for Ross Perot. In 96, I voted for Harry Brown and the Libertarians. In 2000, I voted for Ralph Nader. In 2004, I voted for the Constitution Party. I think it was Howard Phillips. And up until Trump, I voted for the Constitution Party. And then I voted for Trump the first time. Trump ran up the debt $7 trillion, kind of like Ronald Reagan. And so in 2020, I voted for Don Blankenship of the Constitution Party. And, you know, people wonder why these politicians stick to the center right and the center left. Well, first of all, that's where the money is. But second of all, they don't see any rewards in voting to actually position themselves to go either to the far right or the far left. And that's because they don't, you know, they don't see enough votes there. Now, and that's what burns me up about people on this network, and they are white men, right? And they're frustrated about the political, lack of choices. And they still won't, you know, it's too much for them to drive down to their voting booth and vote for a third-party candidate. But the point is, you know, there's about, typically in an election, there's about 30, 40% of the population, they're so disheartened, they don't go out to vote. Now, if those people went out to vote and voted for, let's say, the Constitution Party, the Republicans, seeing that, wow, look at that big block of votes from the Constitution Party, I think I'll adopt some of their campaign positions and co-opt them and make them my own to get their votes. And then that would shift the center-right Republicans to the further-right Constitution Party. And so it really burns me up listening to these guys like Mike Gaty and the rest of these guys. A lot of them are Southern gentlemen, and they're so cynical about the political realities. And I'm cynical too. Don't get me wrong, but I realize We have to try to work on creating viable third parties. And remember that when you triangulate something, it throws off the election results, like why George Bush Sr. was defeated in 92. It was because of Ross Perot. And people didn't vote for Ross Perot to get Clinton in. They voted for Ross Perot because they didn't like George Bush Sr. and they didn't like Clinton either. That's one of these common platitudes you always hear about people who are like, oh, well, that's if you vote third party, you're giving away Biden's vote. I mean, please.
Paul, you've done a good job of laying out your case for voting for alternative candidates than those put up by the Democrats and the Republicans. I think you have argued it very well. Give us a final thought.
Well, I just urge people out there who are frustrated with the, like I said, the corporate center. And that's the real, I wouldn't call it a paradigm, but that's the political reality. It's the corporate center which is the problem, because one of the major problems in this oligarchy is that we're ruled by a corporate fascist oligarchy. We have to start voting outside of this two-party system and look for ulterior candidates. And on that note, Dr. Fetzer, well, thank you.
Well said, Paul. Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I have voted for Pat Buchanan myself, whenever that was. I always say me and about 10 other people voted for Pat Buchanan.
But he's actually a very smart guy. I think Pat Buchanan has a lot of merit.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he was great. He was Trump before Trump was Trump, you know, and I think America first and all that stuff.
In a way, I think that's right, Dan. Yeah, continue.
Well, I didn't hear the first part of the show, but Charlottesville, I was thinking about that. Now, they planned on saying, you will not replace us, and somebody started chanting, Jews will not replace us. So, you know, was that some kind of someone in there trying to make them look bad or not? But
I apologize. I said I was going to verify that, and I have neglected to do that. Yeah, but I was in contact with the party I wanted to confirm with, and I will get back on that because that's a great question. Go ahead, continue.
I know. Most I wasn't there, but most of the people that are there didn't mind though, and I think for me at that time, with the alt-right coming together, white nationalism, that whole thing, that was probably the most important political moment in my life. You know, I think that was like a shot heard around the earth, as they say, and I think it showed the world that we don't like globalism and the mass immigration, and, you know, it did more than 40 years of Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Reagan or any of this crap, you know, because it made it very down to the point. And, you know, like kind of what Paul was saying, what made me mad is even if, you know, so-called Republicans didn't want to be that hardcore, they were the biggest ones stabbing those guys in the back instead of standing up for free speech, you know, which they could have done. They could have just said, hey, if I don't agree with that, they have a right to say it. They didn't. You know, you had Mitt Romney out there marching with Black Lives Matter with his mask on. You had Bob Barr was going after like Richard Spencer. And that Jewish attorney, was it Barbara Lipstadt? You know, they had this Judge Moon. Half of his staff were basically dual Israeli citizens. So you had, like, an Israeli group suing Americans for exercising their free speech, you know. And it really showed, you know, and I have no confidence, kind of like Paul was saying, in the corporate right wing or anything. I think they go along with everything because they're basically they'll go along with Antifa or anti-fascists before they will ever go along with white nationalism. And, you know, and you got to remember, too, that's how the system was set up after World War II. This whole left-right system was set up to prevent National Socialism from ever popping up or fat. You know, it's all centered around just stopping that. So, yeah, the whole system, anyway, has to come down. But and what was that an important moment, do you think? I mean, that went out. Now, I think it went out around the world. You know, people in the Middle East, people in China, Germany.
I'll just tell you, I'm so disappointed in the University of Virginia because I notified every member of the Department of History, save one. Philip Zelikow is the executive director of 9/11 and who I believe authored the script for 9/11, where his area specialization in the university before he entered government was the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. And that's what he gave us for the 9/11 script. There are like 80 members of the Department of History, and I wrote them, and I gave them videos showing the car crash was staged, two different cars, two different drivers, the whole thing had been a hoax, and not a damn one replied with a sole exception, who said she was embarrassed that I'd taught at the University of Virginia twice. That's how much they cared about the hoax being perpetrated right in Charlottesville. Now, as far as the significance, well, this was Terry McAuliffe. This is Hillary's buddy. He was a governor overriding the left-wing mayor of Charlottesville so he could use the state police to channel the peaceful protesters who even had a permit into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, bussed in by George Soros, often on the same bus. And the whole Antifa thing is such a sham. They're not anti-fascists. They're fascists. And all the looting, you know, all the everything that happened, the summer of love was all condoned and encouraged by the Democrats, that there wasn't enough looting, there wasn't enough arson, there wasn't enough mayhem taking place in the streets of America to satisfy them. I think in many ways these events tied together to create a lot of chaos in America and contributed, along with COVID, to the destruction of the middle class, because so many businesses were being looted and torched, and, you know, and they've allowed shoplifting to go on. It is a disgrace. The Democrats have totally sold out, and they are no longer representatives of or contributing to American society, rather, on the contrary, to its destruction. So, Dan,
I would agree with that. But, you know, I would add, though, the only reason the Democrats can get away with it is because the Republicans cuck out, as they say. When the crap hits the fan, the Republicans will side with Antifa against, you know, white guys trying to have political representation. You know,
that's where Trump, with all his flaws, comes in, because I think he doesn't buy any of that happy horse shit. I think he really does want to put America first. And I'm very glad to see him saying he's not 100% for what Israel is doing. And that it may be that Iran has been able to bring some pressure onto Biden. And even you got Barack Obama, you know, a big fundraiser, and they're getting pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel protests. That's not what they want to see. I think they know they got a big problem. And when you got real polling showing that Biden support is down to 8%, think about it, and even dropping because of Palestine. I mean, they got nowhere to go. I think if they're going to steal the election, you have to have a plausible candidate, and that ain't Joe Biden. Give us a final thought, Dan.
I agree. I was sad to see under Obama, the Republicans caved in like they always do, and they passed the hate crimes law. And I think they'll eventually cave in and pass the hate speech law, you know, because the Republican Party it hasn't changed either. It's gotten worse. Mitch McConnell's still there. All you have is Trump.
So, no, Mitch is on the way out, Dan. Get up. He's going out. Look, thanks for the call, Dan.
Thanks for taking the call.
A lot of great points. You got it. Chance in West Virginia. Chance, join the conversation.
Yes, hello, Jimbo. How are you?
Good.
You know, as for me, I won't vote Democrat or Republican. I only vote for third parties, or I won't vote at all. That's the bottom line. And speaking of fundraising, have you heard that Melania Trump just raised funds for the Log Cabin Republicans? You know who they are, don't you?
Yeah, they're gay Republicans.
There you go. So now what does that tell you now? I can't understand the people's fascination with Trump. You know, he's Zionist control, just like the overwhelming majority of all Republicans and Democrats. But, Jim, what amazes me is that you can see who the main enemy is while being an agnostic. And most Christians can't identify the enemy while their own Bible tells them in so many Bible verses who the enemy is.
Yes.
I mean, I'm amazed.
Yes.
I can't, you know, this is why I respect you. Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, champ. I do know if a lot of Christians don't spend a lot of time on the Bible or don't believe the words they're reading because there's so many endorsements of genocide. You know, I mean, it's just outrageous what you actually find there if you take a look, and it's a lot of it's very bad. I think this fundamental tension between Judaism and Christianity is something that has not been appreciated by the Christian churches, that the Jews do not recognize Jesus even as a prophet. Islam recognizes Jesus as a prophet and Moses and Abraham. Christianity and Islam are very tolerant of other religions, certainly more so than the Jews who reject any other religion. In fact, you can find passages there encouraging Jews to kill, to slaughter those who are non-Jews. I mean, it's explicit, and the further you dig, the worse it gets. So I'm inclined to agree with you, Chance. Say more.
Yeah, and you know, I hear people criticize these communist politicians, you know, and I can understand that. But you know what? It's useless. Because to get rid of all the communists, you have to attack the source of their power, the ones who control them. You know what I'm saying? They're doing what they're doing because they're controlled. You have to attack the problem at the source, and that'll correct everything.
Well, you got this most powerful financial family, the Rothschilds, industry, empire, wealthiest in the world, who really own the media, own AP, own Reuters, and control most of the members of Congress through AP.
Sure,
we got a problem, Jan. Go ahead.
And all the Jewish political action committees, lobbying groups. I mean, this is who's got you. You got to bring them down, and then the system will somewhat, hopefully, be corrected.
Right. JFK wanted the World Jewish Congress, which preceded them, to be registered as a foreign agent. But Lyndon let that go, of course, just as he reversed Jack's decision to pull all our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964. He gave the generals the war they wanted to throw in with him and taking out JFK. I mean, it's disgusting.
One question before I go. What do you think about Melania doing this with the Log Cabin Republicans?
Oh, I think it's just a political gesture. I mean, for her to do that, it's intended to show that they're not homophobic. I don't think it's a big deal.
So that's what's important in today's society with all the problems we have, kissing the homo's ass? I mean, think about it. This is ridiculous.
If Trump were doing this, if that were a centerpiece for Trump, it'd be different. I don't think Melania doing it is particularly significant. I think it's just a way to show he's not going to turn down votes just because people happen to be gay. That's my take, Chant.
All right, Jimbo, take care now.
Hey, you got it.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
On the line, Daniel in Canada. Daniel, join the conversation.
Oh, hey there, Dr. Fetzer. Haven't called you since you were a guest on Michael Rivero's show. I used to be on YouTube, have different channels back when it was the Wild West. And I used to focus on Sandy Hook quite a bit. I was part of making that documentary, We Need to Talk About Sandy Hook, listed on the credits at the end. Yeah, so anyways, I know there's a lot of sort of smoking gun points that you and Wolfgang brought up over the years. And there's a couple of little things that I'd like to add today to anyone who's interested. I think Sandy Hook still matters. Yeah. These staged gun grabs are, you know, they're not going to go away. So the Connecticut State website, I guess it must have been a Freedom of Information release, or they just decided to throw out their what they considered evidence. They got a lot of high-resolution photographs of the Nancy Lanza home, where Adam Lanza lived with his mother, allegedly, you know, if you believe he existed, which I don't. But if you look in some of them, there's one in particular that I just thought was puzzling. So they've got this photograph of the liquor cabinet in the kitchen. It's above the sink, and all the bottles are pretty recognizable, like tequila, Kahlua, that kind of thing. But curiously, all the bottles are faced the other direction, so you can't see the labels. Now, I'm just thinking, like, did Nancy Lanza do that, or did they, you know, think to themselves when they're staging this thing, like sort of a Hollywood production, that you can't really show those logos unless you have a product placement deal? So I thought that was quite interesting. Like, who actually has every single liquor bottle in their liquor cabinet with the label facing backwards? And
you make a nice point, Dan. That's just ridiculous. You do the opposite. You have the labels showing so you know exactly what you got there. And people are usually glad, you know, they're proud of their liquor cabinet because they have stocked the liquor cabinet. And when you're doing crime scene photographs, they're obviously not going to be constrained by a licensing agreement. They should have taken the ordinary photographs. It should have been an ordinary scene. So you make a very small point, but it's devastating nevertheless that the whole thing was rigged. It was a setup.
Yeah, it just adds one more thing, you know. And, you know, any real evidence photos, like you say, would not be tampered with. If anything, they would show that fingerprint dusting powder to see if Adam Lanza had drunk alcohol that morning. You know, maybe he was drinking. They could have, you know, had some kind of evidence to that effect. Another thing was his AAA, the American Automobile Association card. So this is a card that you keep on hand when you're driving. And if you get a flat tire and you need help fixing it. Anyways, I saw a picture and I jotted down the number and I tried to renew his number on their website, but the they didn't recognize the number. So it just looked like another phony sort of fake ID kind of thing that they throw in there. One more thing.
Wait a minute. I didn't even think he could drive. I mean, you know, the whole thing's ridiculous. Of course, he's supposed to have driven over to the school, but it's like him supposed to have some experience with marksmanship. The ATF guy responsible found no evidence that he or his purported mother had ever gone to any marksmanship range or had any experience or familiarity with firearms. I mean, this whole thing was such bullshit from beginning to end. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, they and on that same subject, in order to give you the illusion that he and his mother were on shooting ranges, in his room, this was the second point I was going to make, behind a couch, and these are really high-resolution photographs, so I was able to like zoom in quite close, and you know it's probably still up somewhere if you dig around. In the back of the couch, there's a shooting range target in Adam Lanza's room. He's got the windows all blacked out with black plastic garbage bags. You zoom in really close, you can see FBI use only on the corner of the target.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. It was the FBI planted the evidence. That's so sensational. I love it. Let me say, you know, the Connecticut State Police appear to have been running the whole show behind the scene. And in my efforts to get the Supreme Court to take a look at the abuse of me in the courts of Wisconsin, I'll come back to this. Just stick around, Daniel, right after the
part.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help! Well, when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Daniel, as you probably know, I was, of course, sued for defamation for suggesting a death certificate that a guy calling himself Leonard Posner had put up on a blog and shared with my colleague Kelly Watt, which was incomplete. It had no file number, no town or state certification, was fake. We're under Connecticut law. Not even parents are allowed to possess incomplete death certificates, where I even had two forensic experts in my support that death certificate and three others that had been introduced in the case at that point in time were all fake. In Wisconsin, the judge is just allowed to set aside evidence he considers to be unreasonable. So if he takes for granted that Sandy Hook was real, then, of course, any evidence to the contrary can be dismissed as unreasonable, which I find to be completely absurd, completely wrong. I took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And when I filed an appeal for reconsideration after the court declined, I included sets of appendices A through D that included the original decline by the court, then the FEMA drill manual, then the Connecticut's Bridgeport agenda, showing that the exercise L-366 was right on the schedule. And they even sent along a map as to how to get from Bridgeport down to the school in Sandy Hook, which, by the way, wasn't even an elementary school. It was actually a special needs school. Then a photograph, you know, the crime scene vehicle and the scene before they finished setting the stage, because they hadn't damaged the windows in classroom 10 as yet. So, I mean, that single photograph is conclusive proof it was a fraud. But then Appendix E, Ida, Texas, licensed private investigator, got into the Sandy Hook, the state police files on Sandy Hook, and discovered photographs that contradict the official narrative, like down a hallway where there's supposed to be the bodies of Mary Sherlock and Don Hoffspring, the psychologist and the principal, and pools of blood. There are not only no bodies, no pools of blood. In a classroom where there's supposed to be a stack of bodies, not only no bodies, but not even any desks or chairs for students, and all the furniture shoved up against the wall. Meaning what he found not only proved it wasn't a mass murder, but it wasn't even an operating school. But that's all in my Appendix E. And if you go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org and do a search on the demolition of justice in the USA, I talk about five different cases where the courts have been utterly shams and irresponsible, and you can get the link directly to those appendices. And I also added there an interview I did, SGT Report, Never Speak of This, where Sean and I discussed, I explained to him how I'd been in communication with participants in the drill for over 2 years now. The gal who was cast as Emily Parker, little blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl, real name, Margaret Alice Cottle, Vicky Soto, the teacher is supposed to have given her life, real name Victoria Relio. She's actually the daughter of the new town clerk. I lay it all out there. And you and others, you know, you'd be welcome to share that far and wide, Daniel. But I'm just telling you that the extent to which this was a fraud and the courts have stood up for it to cover it up is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it never ends, and it's like a thread on a sweater. You just pull it, and it just keeps unraveling. I admire your work. I've followed you for a number of years, going back to 9/11 when you were on Alex Jones' thing in Los Angeles, I believe. I actually ordered a copy of that from C-SPAN. I still have that.
You're talking about the panel discussion on Sunday, but, you know, on Saturday, Alex had me as the keynote speaker at his conference, American Scholars Conference, there in Los Angeles in 2006. I mean, I was the keynote speaker. I don't know why I've not seen, there's got to be video of it, but I'd love to see the video of that, because I do have, as you have, the C-SPAN. That was an hour and 45 minutes, and all the panelists were members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I'd founded in December of 2005, moderated by Alex. So C-SPAN actually put that up 7 or 8 times. I think it had the effect of shattering the glass ceiling from public discussion of 9/11.
Anything starts the ball rolling. Last thoughts, I guess. All this stuff still matters. Sandy Hook still matters. The Boston bombing still matters. 9/11, JFK still matters. And more than anything right now, people like you matter. So I'll leave you with that. And thanks, and have a good show.
Daniel, terrific call. Thank you very, very much. Charlie in Florida. Charlie, join the conversation. Oh, Charlie dropped. Hey, we got Tom in Florida. Tom, you're welcome to join the conversation.
Day. Yeah, Jim, that was a good call there. That last call, Daniel, was really good. Jim, I was wondering, that was a good call. Jim, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah, Jim, I was wondering, does O.J. Simpson case matter? Does O.J. case matter still?
Sure.
Because I heard some very interesting stuff about O.J. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, OJ lives in here in South Florida. He used to play golf. Now, a couple of my buddies used to play golf with him over here in South Florida. Believe it or not, he was still playing golf over here off of Kilding Green and all these other golf courses around here.
Yeah.
But I saw a documentary about OJ today that blew my mind. Did you know that OJ Simpson and Robert Kardashian were partners since 1973? Jim?
We're partners, you mean business partners?
Yes, sir. They were business partners. And I'm going to tell you, when you hear the whole story now, they busted the case. They know exactly what happened now. Exactly what happened here, Jim, was OJ was with Robert Kardashian. And they both got divorced because Robert Kardashian, and OJ at the time was married to a black woman. And Robert Kardashian was married to Kris Kardashian. She wanted into a jacuzzi, and Robert Kardashian, when they were both drinking real heavy, Kris Kardashian stayed in the hot tub with OJ. He left. He ended up seducing her when she was drinking, and he had sex with her in the hot tub. And supposedly he had sex with her real rough, and she had to end up going to the hospital. Now, he never forgave OJ for that. And they were partners. And a week later, they both get divorced from their wives. He divorces her. OJ divorces the black woman before he meets Nicole Brown.
Yeah.
OJ had a black wife. So this guy put the whole thing together. It was magnificent how this guy pieced this whole case together. OJ was not the actual murderer, but he was an accessory to the murder. He was there. Goldman stabbed OJ in the arm with a knife. An hour later, this big, heavy-set white guy was with O.J. And believe it or not, Bodie Fayed would go to a nightclub where Nicole Brown and her sister and a bunch of friends would hang out. Bodie Fayed. And Bodie Fayed had bodyguards. But I didn't really follow that as much as I followed what happened at the actual murder scene. O.J., Goldman comes to bring the glasses to Nicole. He comes because she calls him at the restaurant. It was all a lie. He came into the courtyard there at the house in Brentwood, and the guy and OJ confronted him. They were trying to scare him at first. But anyway, Goldman put up a fight.
Who are you saying was with OJ?
This guy named, I believe his name, a white guy named Tucker. His name was a white guy. There was a white guy. He was a martial artist, and he is kind of built. He was built at the time, and he knew Nicole. Well, he was with him, and him and Goldman went at it, and he ended up stabbing Goldman. And OJ panicked, you got to watch the documentary. It's just amazing how this guy pieced this whole case together. And he ended up meeting OJ he met OJ in Miami. He met him in Miami, and he went out partying with OJ a bunch of times, and OJ started drinking heavy with this guy. It's an amazing story. Anyway, I didn't call about that, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. I believe OJ was an accessory to the fact. There was no question about it. It was
OJ actually told Goldman's father that his son was very courageous. My take is a little different, Tom, that OJ was on meth, and he was extremely jealous of Nicole, and she had set up all the candles and so forth, which she did when she was going to have a romantic interlude. And when Goldman showed up, OJ was infuriated and cut him up and killed him. And Nicole came out and saw it happen. And he realized he couldn't let her be a witness. He knocked her out with hitting her on the head with the butt of his knife and then sliced her throat so thoroughly and nearly decapitated her. But OJ did it. My take.
Well,
delay on that. You give us the other story you want to cover. Go ahead.
Here's the reason I want to call you, though. You know, Jim, they just showed on the news, okay? You have Senator Marsha Blackburn. Marsha Blackburn is right now demanding that every senator that goes and votes on tomorrow when they bring the articles of impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas, whoever doesn't vote to impeach this criminal, she's saying they need to be primaried. Right out the hell out of office.
Right.
Marsha Blackburn's on the news right now saying that. If they don't impeach, she's wonderful. And she's even saying it, and so is Hagerty of Tennessee. Those two senators got some cojones. They're telling anybody tomorrow when they bring those articles over, they're bringing the articles over tomorrow, Johnson, and whoever doesn't follow through on that should be primary. Right the hell out.
Is Ron Johnson and Blackburn, the two of them, are saying that?
No, it was Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, the senators.
Okay, Bill Hagerty. Okay.
Ron Johnson is bringing the articles of impeachment over to the Senate tomorrow.
Yeah. He is so good. I am so proud that he is my senator, Tom. I like Ron Johnson. I've met Ron Johnson. I think he's terrific. He'd be a great running mate for Trump, by the way. Let me just mention. Go on. Give us a.
He would definitely be. He should be in the top. He should be in the top three picks. That guy, Ron, from your senator from Wisconsin. He's great. Yeah. He is great.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you this, Jim. Here's the kicker here. Now you got this chucky communist schmucky Schumer who's got dual citizenship. This filthy Zionist. You got this Alejandro Cubano Mayorkas, wasn't he born in this country? Head of DHS, whose family are Marxist communists in Cuba. You got this whole thing going down tomorrow. Now, here's the thing that's been all over the news, Jim, all over this morning. I'm surprised you haven't talked about it. You have experts in California saying that California is an actual disaster area with the medical, with everything, with all these illegals. And you got experts saying there's going to be a terrorist attack that's going to be 10 times worse than 9/11. That's what they're saying. Now, you got Chinese that you don't know who the hell's coming in this country. You don't know where hell half of them are. And you got United States outstanding senators like even Marco Rubio calling out these Chinese nationals. 80% of them are men. He's really pissed off about that.
Tell me again. What is it that I missed? The story I missed this morning? Exactly. What is the story?
You're missing the story about the member of. The people, the experts in California are predicting a massive terrorist attack with all these people from all over. They're shipping them all over the country.
In California, you're talking about by the illegal migrants?
Yes. They don't know who's there. They know what kind of terrorists are coming in the border, but there's going to be a massive attack. It's going to be horrible.
We've all been worried about that. I mean, that's not really new news. You're just saying they're saying it's imminent, right? Imminent.
Yes, it's definitely imminent. It's going to happen, and we're gonna reap the repercussions of this. We already had one. Look, Jim, when that Lakeland Riley got murdered, that should have been the red signal, red line right there. That every one of these people coming in this border after that day should have been that border should have been sealed with the military. That's what experts were saying. That border should have been sealed with the military, and everyone that's here right now.
Say this for three effing years, for God's sake. The Biden admin is all in. This is why Mayorkas deserves to be impeached. Biden deserved to be thrown out. They all deserve to be arrested, indicted, tried, and shot.
They should be hung. No, Jim, I don't say shoot them. I say hang them with a rope. They should be hung with a rope, Mayorkas, what he's done. And I got to say this, Jim. When you look at it, if one more woman gets murdered by an illegal alien, I think we're going to an all-out revolution.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. You're going to get it happening all over the place. Give me a final thought, Tom, a final thought.
Well, my final thought is, you know, you got these senators that are finally showing some balls, and it seems like most of the women in the Senate have more balls than the men. But we'll see how it plays out, because tomorrow's going to be a very important day for everybody to understand. If they do not impeach this guy, Alejandro Mayorkas, Jim, for what he's done to this country, the treasonous acts him and Biden have done, I think we got to go into a revolution. We have to. Yeah. And it's going to be that movie Civil War, but 100 times worse.
I think a lot of people agree with you, my friend. Good call.
How dare a president of the United States, Jim, threaten us with the United States Air Force that we pay for the taxpayers?
We got it. You're right. Max in New York, join the conversation, Max. Max, are you there? If no Max, David in Massachusetts.
Are you there? You there?
Max? Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, does John Lennon still matter?
Say again?
Does John Lennon still matter?
Sure. Of course. Yes.
So the burning question I've always had is, of all the women he could have possibly had on this planet, how did he end up with Yelko? What's going on there? Tell me. Help me out here.
I think she was a honeypot. I think she was to manage John, and, you know, I can't tell you a lot of details. There is a wonderful video about May Ping, you know, who John...
Yes, I discovered her a couple of years ago. She lived not too far away a few years back.
That's a really good video, actually. Excellent. I think Yono was some kind of plant. I think she's very, very strange. And John would have been a hell of a lot better without her. And she even arranged for May Bing to have this. She encouraged May Bing to have this affair with John. And
right.
They really got along famously. I mean,
right. It was probably some of his best years of his life.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah, that's very good. That's very good, Max. Yeah.
And she was a prolific photographer, so she has these books. And I wish I got to meet her because I didn't even know about it until like a few years ago. My friend's like, yeah, man, I met this woman down in Rockland County, and she was John Lennon's girlfriend. She's got took out the book and showed us photographs. Like, she was like, you know, letting you know this is what happened, because I had no idea she even existed.
Yeah. So I distrust Yoko Ono 100%. I don't think she's got a sincere fiber in her entire body. And I think there are all kinds of bad things related to Yoko in relation to John. And she may have even played a role in his death. That's my take.
Wow, that's pretty deep. I thought, you know, a different angle was like he hooked up with her because I think he was really just kind of bitter and pissed off at that point, getting burned out with all the bullshit. And, you know, and here's Yoko, the most repulsive, screechy thing, sitting next to me at the piano just to, like, throw the monkey wrench into the wood chipper. And just, like, you know, basically, F you to everybody, F you to the music business, F you to music, F you, F you, F you. Yoko was, like, his walking F you.
Max, give us a final thought.
Ringo Starr, I mean, I thought he had the best voice of the Beatles. And
that's fun,
you know, after the Beatles broke up, they all went solo and they all had their hits. Who had the most hits?
Well, Paul McCartney,
it wasn't John.
I would say,
it wasn't John.
No, after they broke up, Paul McCartney and Wings, you know, even though it's not the real James Paul McCartney, it's Billy Shears. Max, listen, I got three others here.
No, let me finish. I'll answer that. It was Ringo Starr.
Well, that surprises me. I'd have to check that out. Max, let's talk about the Beatles some more another time. Call again. Dave in Massachusetts, join the conversation, Dave.
Oh, hello, James. You haven't heard from me because I haven't been being put through to you. I call you all the time, but if they don't put me through to you, I can't talk to you.
Well, I like your calls, Dave. I like your calls. I don't want them to block you. Go ahead.
James, what's your understanding of Donald Trump's relationship with Jeff Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell?
I think it was innocuous. There were lots of social interaction, so you got these photographs. I don't believe Trump's a pedophile. He had beautiful women falling all over him. I think he's a decent heterosexual guy. The whole thing with E. Jean Carroll, of course, was absurd. But basically, they had some social interaction, but that was basically it, David.
Well, listen... I want to bring your attention, if you can still, you have a lot of resources, you're a resourceful guy. I've been trying to put this out. I've known about this back when Biden was running against Trump, and I put it out, gave it to Michael Levero, the links from Forbes website. But check out the Globe Tabloid, the April 1st edition of Globe Tabloid.
For what year?
The current one, this year.
Oh,
I've been
really?
Trying to get this in. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, listen. I've known that just Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. Of course, Trump's heterosexual. Well, Trump developed a mania for Melania. He became a Melaniac. Oh, he was obsessed with Melania, but she was one of Ghislaine's girls. And the pictures are in the Globe. I've seen these pictures, like I said, 4 years ago, back when Trump was running against Biden. And I wanted to put them out, bring them to the attention of the Republic Broadcasting, but I was talking to Rivera, and he didn't want me to. He said, send them to me privately, and if they're of any validity, I'll post them on my website. But he never did, but then he got me banned. He got me banned from RBN.
You're not banned here, David. Okay, so you're saying 1 April 2024, the Globe photographs shocking, suggesting Melania was one of Ghislaine's girls. I gotta say, Melania, whatever her background, has just handled herself wonderfully as First Lady, head and shoulders above every other, back all the way to Jacqueline Kennedy, in my opinion, David. Okay. I'm very fond of Kate Middleton, too. I thought she was, you know, William was really marrying up when he married Kate, who's now disappeared and may have been killed in a ritual sacrifice. Nick Hollister and I did a piece on the fall of the House of Windsor. Go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and you might want to check it out. Very disturbing stuff. David, give us a final thought. Final thought, David.
The final thought, James, is I don't think you appreciate, maybe after you check it out, you'll appreciate the gravity of the situation, but the relationship between Jeff Epstein's death when President Trump was president could be compared to Alexei Navalny being found dead under President Putin. Cui bono, Epstein was killed under Trump's administration, just like Navalny was murdered under Putin's administration. But check out the pictures. Ghislaine was
David, thank you. I think Epstein is alive and well and probably sipping Mai Tais on little St. James Island he owns in the Caribbean, otherwise known as Orgy Island. David, I'm glad you got through. I'm glad you got through. I look forward to our next phone call, David. Thank you very much.
Okay.
1 April 2024, the Globe. Thank you. John in Colorado. John, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good show. You're talking earlier about voting and people, I fear that even some hosts on RBN said, I'm not going to vote anymore and all that. But no one never asked why they don't want to. And I think, you know, if they made it where you'd have no cheating, falsifying, everything like that, you know, and give them paper ballots where they go back to vote, and if they don't, they're crazy. But I said, that's the problem.
Yep. John, listen, call back, call again tomorrow. James Vancouver, James from Carolina, call me tomorrow. I'll get you on the air. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. And support RBN.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.